hearts of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk. Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. This program is brought to you by the initiative Titi Paunamo, Study and Joy. I'm pleased today that I'm joined by Jen Rutledge. Jen, a warm welcome and hi to our radio program.
Kia ora. Thank you so much for the invitation and the interest.
Jen Rutledge is the general manager of DePaul House since 2014, and she was awarded a QSM in 2022 for her work at DePaul House. Jen, DePaul House and St. Vincent de Paul, these are two organizations that are often confused, and they're both named after the same French saint, a saint who lived in the 16th, 17th century, Vincent de Paul, and who is known as the patron saint of charitable societies. When people approach you and say, well, are you St. Vincent de Paul? What do you say? What is the difference between the two organizations?
Thank you. That's a very good question. And you are correct. It's something that is often confused. So we work very closely with St. Vincent de Paul. They are a volunteer-led organization based largely at the parishes. So we've worked, and we were set up, I acknowledge that, by volunteers from St. Vincent de Paul and working through the St. Mary's Parish. However, the difference between us and them, and acknowledging the shared saint, who was a really influential man and sort of called out for people to not just reflect on Christianity, but to actually work out there with the poor in particular. So DePaul House was established in 86. It's a separate standalone entity. So it has to be. We do receive contracts from government. So our core business.
Just quickly, is it 1986 or is it?
Yes. Yeah. Our core business is housing. So as you and many of your listeners will know, housing has been an increasing problem for Tamaki Makaurau, but it's now moved right across the whole of New Zealand. So DePaul House was started in 86 by a group of volunteers, some of whom were St. Vincent de Paul, but we've established, as we have to, a separate legal entity, because that way we can contract to government, which is essential for our financial well-being, and also has allowed us to grow. So we have a lot of linkages back. We share a food bank with St. Vincent de Paul, and we often share donations, but we are very different in what we do and our main purpose, acknowledging the shared saint. And in de Paul House's instance, I think also acknowledging the work that St. Vincent did with St. Louise de Marillac, who is the patron saint of social workers. And she was another really instrumental saint in actually asking calls to action, I think would be what we would use now. But at the time, that was very revolutionary. And they were very politically astute, amazingly inspirational. And they actually believed that people should enact their faith, basically.
And it's a wonder that it survived the revolution and everything.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah.
Tell us more about I don't know much about this, the female saint. So did they work together? Can you give us a little bit of a background?
Sure, they did. So she was a wealthy, she married, she was sort of wealthy upper middle class. She had a child, but her husband died when she was in her early 30s. And please, if I've got that wrong, you've got no excuse. So at that time, she joined, as many women did, the cloister. So she joined the Daughters of Charity, which was a group of nuns working under St. Vincent de Paul, who very much followed his ethos and his inspiration to, which was asking people, including the well-to-do, the aristocrats, to get out from behind the protections they had and actually work in that community, to work with the poor, to recognize the faith of the poor, face of the poor. So St. Louise became a leader of that Daughters of Charity, and she was one of those, the first of those women, and the inspiration for, you know, this the nuns actually getting out and working really in those communities, which were incredibly improvised, as you can imagine, in France at that time.
That's, and so you, it was, the De Paul House was established in 1986. Does it only exist in New Zealand, or does it also exist in other countries?
De Paul House, as in the entity we are, is only in New Zealand. There are many different entities, all relating back to St. Vincent de Paul, and, you know, acknowledging too our significant historic links back to the Catholic Diocese of Auckland. But we are the only one that I'm aware of that is a housing-focused charity as such. So our primary focus is housing, but as you and many people know, that covers a huge raft of issues.
Mm. And so is that because it's started with the Catholic Church, it's still an outreach for anybody, is that correct?
It is, yes, and that's also a very good point to make. So we are available for any New Zealander that's experiencing housing hardship. Over the last 18 months, we've actually increased our criteria. We used to work only with those with dependent children. In the last 18 months, with board approval, we also now offer support for 65 plus singles, because it's an area of really challenging need. You know, many 65 pluses, seniors, do not have their own home. So we've also extended our purpose to include them, our mission and our vision.
Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned the word housing hardship. Yep. How do you define housing hardship?
Sure. So De Paul House works with those who have experienced transience, and that makes it sound, so that transience covers a whole raft of issues. For our people, they have often lived in overcrowded housing, often with family in whānau-based situations, or I think everybody's aware of how chaotic our housing system has become and the talk about the emergency housing. So emergency housing, as it's now defined by government, is a motel. So if you're in housing harm, you go to your work and income office, and if they approve it, which is increasingly hard, they will put you into a motel for 7 days, and you have to reapply every 7 days. So we take a lot of people from that background. So they've fallen into that housing hardship, often for family harm, if relationships split up and you haven't got enough money to afford to pay for the next rental, then your only option really is to work an income. So that's a primary driver for us on the North Shore. There's a really limited amount of refuge space, so De Paul House steps into that gap. But also for those who are overcrowding, there's health issues, access to local health services. The North Shore Hospital, we've got people on dialysis who need to stay close. They might have come from out of town, but they're now having to live locally. So we take a lot of referrals from the hospital. And also Starship. We shouldn't underestimate the impact of a child's ill health on the whole family. So in some cases where they have to relocate from regions where there's really limited services for health, you know, the whole family has to come because the petrol's too dear. Mum or dad or both can't afford to keep coming back. So we work a lot with those people. Also, private rentals are so expensive at the moment, as everybody, I'm sure, is aware.
So that's quite amazing, this range of different people that you are helping through De Paul Housing. And so how is your work with the government? You mentioned a little bit of motels. I'm surprised that people are allocated in motels. Isn't that more expensive than if you have your apartments or small houses?
I think it speaks to the huge need out in our community. So, yes, I'm surprised and actually appalled and alarmed by the amount of referrals to motels, because they, and even places like the North Shore Caravan Park is taking people on those temporary 7-day stays. So we work with government There is a public housing, a social housing wait list, which will give you access to Kianga Ora. It's incredibly complicated to get onto, and to become eligible for that housing wait list, you have to disclose all of your family's deficiencies, basically. If you've had a police record, if you've had involvement with a rangatamariki, been to prison, become, you know, bankrupt, whatever. All of that has to be disclosed. It's run by Work and Income, who's the front office of MSD, Ministry of Social Development. So we work really closely with them, because what we find, and it's not surprising, is MSD or Work and Income have very limited resources. Their contact's based on a phone call. And many of our clients don't have the data or the time, really, to answer those anonymous phone calls. And they certainly don't want to disclose in those phone calls all the damage that's happened to them. So we work closely with the Ministry of Social Development, who manages that housing wait list. And that is where our social work team is very involved, because people only want to disclose those sort of deficiencies to
people they trust, you know. They
that's exactly right.
Question of trust. If you give out all your personal information, you wouldn't do that online or on the phone. And I think that's a huge issue. Are you with people who are having trouble applying? Are you able to help them there, or is it something that you're not allowed to?
No, we are able to. So as long as they agree to have us act as their agent or advocate, that means we can work closely with them. And we have quarterly meetings and often are in regular contact with Work and Income and the Ministry of Social Development. They, you know, they're a key part of what we do. So those relationships and building, as you say, that trust with our clients is essential. But the other key part of the government social housing framework is there's two other ministries. It's an incredibly complex housing scenario. So the middle part is the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development. They set all the policies, and that's a recent initiative in the last 3 years, I think I'm correct. No, 2017, I think it was established. It's gone fast. And then, of course, the end part, where the majority of our clients are housed, is Kianga Ora. So we work closely with all those agencies.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud to say that we have, you know, a great rate of rehousing. So our clients, between 80 to 90% are rehoused. The majority of them to Kianga Ora, a smaller amount to private rental. And that's because private rental is so expensive, and often there's a degree, I'd say, of discrimination against our clients because of the way life has been.
Mm-hmm. I know in our parish, the former presbytery is rented out to DePaul House. So that would be an occasion where people who have already been connected with DePaul House for a while, they come and they live there, pay a certain rent to DePaul House. How does it work? Can you tell us more about it? Because that might be an example that would be good for other parishes or other places, that there is a house that is provided and helps people to help themselves, right?
Sure. So that the parish house from Maria Assumpta, which is one of our first houses that we took over from a parish, and we have a number of those on the North Shore, that is for transitional housing. So they are in there. They're supposed to be only there for 12 weeks, but as we all know, the housing crisis has pushed that out. So on average, we can rehouse somebody within 26 weeks, but only if they fit. The builds at the moment are all one or two bedders. If you've got more children than and require a three bedroom, you'll be with us significantly longer. So the house you refer to at Maria Assumpta is transitional housing. So we maintain regular contact, we manage the property, and we pay the parish rent, and the tenant, the resident in that property, pays 25% of their income, which is aligned with what they'd pay when they move to Kianga Ora. Yeah.
But this makes also sure if the tenant pays some money to DePaul House, then it shows a record of a tenant who has been paying duly their rent and also keeping the property clean. And that would help them in the market, in the housing market, wouldn't it?
Quite right. We can provide references just around what you've spoken of, if that's how it happens. And the majority of our people, I think there's a terrible amount of beneficiary bashing happening in the media. And the majority of our people just want the best for their children, and they just want somewhere safe and sustainable, so they don't have to keep moving around. We all know the harm that's done to children when they have to swap schools continually and when they're not registered with health services. And I'd also say that the same for older people, for seniors. You know, if you're having to chop and change regularly, you lose your sense of community, and you lose that connection back to your whānau and your friends, because you're living in a crisis, a daily crisis. So it becomes trauma based, I'd say, and that's not a word I use lightly. So if you are registered with DePaul House, we'll work with you as long as you follow our rules, which are fairly common sense, and we will work with you, and we are successful in achieving housing. And then that's the other part of the DePaul House project and the educational side. We also ask that people attend the Learning Centre, where there's a number of classes run by groups such as the Salvation Army offering budgeting. We have a computer digital literacy class, at which you will receive a Chromebook after 9 weeks, and also access to data at a subsidised cost. We've also just recently added an Auckland Transport Driving Licence class, which has been a real success, because as we know, a driver's licence, and that full driver's licence, is a really useful way to build your CV, to actually travel safely without incurring fines every time you go out.
It seems like it's a whole care package, and you are providing the people with the tools that they need to be back in the society where they can have better chances in jobs, job-wise and housing-wise.
That's right. The other thing I should say before we move off to anything else is English Language Partners offer literacy at the Learning Centre too. It's all managed by Moana, who's a staff member of DePaul House, and she is a budgeter by profession. But she also she's that connector between the other groups. So our people coming to our door, it's really hard to open the door and ask for help at DePaul House. So you've got to be able to build that trust and that empathy and relationship quickly. And Moana is an inspiration behind that. So she's there making sure people feel heard, that they feel safe. She's a gem. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of that is the early childhood centre, which is where the under fives go. Yeah.
So they're just like, they take care of the children while the mother is working.
Yeah, while the mother's at the class, usually the mother or father.
Okay. Yeah.
So
how is the funding going? Where do you get the means to make this all happening?
So when I first started back in 2014, we had 25% of our income from government, and the rest was fundraised by, and you would have seen this through Maria Sumter and the parishes you work at, where there's always calls for DePaul House come to an event or, a raffle or whatever. But over time, and now currently, we have 70% contracted by government, which is the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development. We've also grown from when I started, we had 9 transitional housing places. Now we've got 45 across the North Shore. And we also have 12 social houses, which is permanent rentals. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. These are really impressive figures, but it also shows that the government takes you seriously and that the government acknowledges the work that is done by DePaul House. And it's certainly filling a gap when the government has organisations that are not, there's too much demand for the government.
Yes, so, quite right. And I think that we all hear at the moment the call to close down motels. similar to what's happened in Rotorua, you know, that becomes a vacuum and people lose hope. So we would like to see motels closed down, definitely, but we'd also like to see more access to places such as DePaul House, and the Catholic Diocese of Auckland has also, don't forget, a very inspirational housing partner with Monte Cecilia out in the south of Auckland. So they have got, you know, Monte Cecilia and DePaul House, both of whom are held in high esteem.
So how can people support you? How can people who are living on the North Shore, or maybe even in other parts, how can they support DePaul House and the work that you're doing?
So the part that I haven't spoken to, which is where we heavily rely on public support, particularly from the parishes, is the volunteer base. So we, once people are rehoused, typically our people have lost all of their possessions, or they never had them to begin with for a variety of reasons. So once they leave us, we have a furniture bank, we have clothing banks which are available to people when they stay with us, and a food bank, and household goods, which is what you were referring to earlier about the endless calls at your parish for toasty makers and, you know, electric jugs, and furniture, good quality furniture. If it's close enough to our home base at Northcote, we will come and pick it up. And then when people leave, we will set them up as much as possible with a household lot at a nominal charge. We also provide bedding and things like tin openers, you know, coffee cups, cutlery, crockery, anything that's useful. I would just ask that we never get offered giftware, because that just becomes a storage issue.
Yes.
So practical things are always really valued. And the only reason we can do that is because of our volunteer base. So we have 55 active volunteers who come in weekly, and they sort through the donations. And this is, again, as you said in your opening question, a reason why we get confused with St. Vincent de Paul, because they run a similar service. So that's where we do share a lot of, if there's something we have too much of, we will take that to St. Vincent de Paul. So it's always got a good home.
Do you also share information about your clients or the people who are registered with you? No.
No, it's quite separate. So, you know, that's the client confidentiality thing. You know, people need to know that their information is held safely, confidentially, and with a trusted source. So no, we don't do that.
Do you have people who come back after years and say, well, DePaul House helped me, so I want to help DePaul House?
Yes, we do. It's a lovely place to work. It can be very challenging, but we also have many treats delivered to our door. I can think just in the last fortnight, we had a cake delivered by somebody at Mother's Day, just thanking all the mothers at DePaul House for their work, because she felt that we had allowed her to become the mother she wanted to be. And also at Christmas, we see people turning up with their children and saying, we used to live here, we'd like to give back. And it's food. The other way to help is obviously financial donations. You know, that contracting to government is huge, but government contracts are very tightly focused. The 25 to 30% that is untagged is from our donor database or from other sources. And that gives us the ability to run the learning centre, to run the playgroup, and to do this, the innovative stuff that can really move people along in their lives. Yeah.
And so the government gives you some funding. Does the government also give you some other things, some connections or some free cards to a certain education or something like that? Is there any other?
No, no, it doesn't. And as we all know, we're moving into a time of, you know, increasingly fiscal austerity, I'd say. I'm sounding like a government speak person. I'm not meaning to. So what we at DePaul House need to do is to look outside of our normal, you know, contract relationships, which are still strong, and I still believe, you know, that they will continue through. But in order to give us the ability to innovate and to run the Learning Centre and the Early Childhood Centre, because our numbers at the early childhood centre are often low. Our population comes and goes, so we can't always guarantee the required attendance to be able to claim the Ministry of Education's attendance allowances. So our government funding down there is really minimal. And the Learning Centre is all done, as I said, by other charities and other entities.
Yeah. And what about the cooperation between other churches, other religions? Because you mentioned that the Diocese of Auckland, the Catholic Diocese, is supporting you. Mm-hmm. And there is, of course, the support from Catholic parishioners. But DePaul House is not just for Catholics. So is mm-hmm. there also contribution from other parishes, from other churches?
We very much ecumenical. I think I would acknowledge the work of the Onewa Christian community, which is the local St. Aidan's, and I think it's St. Andrew's and Hinemoa have merged, and they've been really supportive in both fundraising but also getting the message out. I'd also like to thank Bay's Community Housing Trust, which is based up in Long Bay. So they are similar to us, but they build housing at a greater scale than we can. They're part of the Baptist Church. But we have got a lot of, Salvation Army is another key partner, which we all know is faith-based. So we shouldn't forget that entities such as ourselves were set up by faith-based, mm-hmm. By the churches of many denominations.
Yes, yes. And it's for people of many denominations and none. So it's for anybody who is struggling. Yes. And I think that's a wonderful work. And I think it's amazing. So I wish you all the best. What happens if somebody wants to donate? How do they get in touch with you? You said drop things off in Onewa Road, and if there is financial support, I can put the website up.
Sure. So the website has a donate now button and also all the contact details. The easiest way is to ring us. If you like, we can always tell you, particularly if it's larger items such as furniture, beds, etc., whether we are able to pick up and how quickly we can do so. So give us a ring if the answers aren't on the website, which should be.
And last question, do you work only on the North Shore or do you work also over on the other side of the bridge?
So we work on the North Shore and just in the CBD.
Okay.
So we have got another service which is sustaining tenancies, which is trying to keep people in their rentals or in their housing before they need the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, so that can work and work across all of those areas.
Do you have any idea of how many people you have helped in the last year or in the last 10 years or any figures?
Sure. So, and my figures would be from the last calendar year, so from January to December of 2023. We assisted 123 people through our housing. At any one time, we've got over 200 people living under our roofs across the public, across the social and the transitional housing. And 60% of those are children under the age of 15, which I think is a sad statistic. Much as I'm proud of what we do, I think it is sad to know that we've got that many tamariki living with us. Since we started in 86, we've helped... and this is where I would probably need to check my figures, but I believe it's around the 1,500 families in whānau, bearing in mind that prior to 2014, we only had 9 units and have increased significantly since then.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for all your work and to you and your staff, what you're doing, and to reach out to people who are in desperate need of emergency housing and other support regarding housing. Thank you very much, Jan, and for your time to come to the radio interview, and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And just quickly, what is coming up at Titipona Mu Study Enjoy, we are going to look at further Zoom sessions on Bible stories. What do they mean? And so join us in unraveling Bible stories and looking for answers within a group and with Bible scholar Kieran Fenn. The next session is Sunday, 2nd of June, 5 to 6 p.m. And also please check out the wide range of video clips on more topics around religions, faiths, and also we'll put up the video about DePaul House. So we'll learn more about DePaul House. And if you have anybody who is interested in, you can refer to this video then. Thank you very much, Jen. And I wish you all a good Friday and a good weekend.